Hey there, folks, and welcome back to Hardly Heroes. The recording date is April 3rd, 2021. I am Caleb B. That's where you can follow me on Twitter. Follow Eddie at EDDYC85. Follow John at Jorge Blanco. Check out the main show, Eddie and Caleb's HeroCast, every Wednesday night after just AEW Dynamite now. Also... Grave Consequences podcast, part of the Social Suplex Podcast Network. You can check that out every Thursday morning at 6:30 a.m. Central Time. John's podcast, the D Blitz podcast. That's more of a midweek thing, right?
Oh, I say we got that. We actually got a set schedule now, so that's going to be releasing every Friday morning at 6 a.m.
Okay, guys. I like it.
And so we just did our first full round mock draft this week. I had the odd teams. Daphne had the even teams, and it was a lot of fun.
Well, who did the Niners draft?
Let me go back and check. I don't remember offhand.
But yeah, Friday.
Yes, I do. I made the pick. You guys got Justin Fields.
Okay. All right, so yeah, Friday morning, 6 a.m., check out the D-Blitz podcast as well. Let's get right into... You guys want to start off with... because we can't really... With the time that we have, thanks to my work schedule, we can't really go beat by beat on all four episodes of Invincible that we've yet to recap. But do you want to go general thoughts on Invincible, or do you want to do the last episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier?
I think Falcon, because Invincible, I still just did episode one. I haven't watched anything else since.
Oh, really? Because I'm caught up.
Yeah. I want to catch up, but I literally went to go see four movies in theaters yesterday, and then I watched Falcon and Winter Soldier before the show, so
yeah,
just time got to be.
All right.
Yeah, that sounds fine.
All right, Eddie, I'm hoping you took notes on Falcon and Winter Soldier because I did not.
Of course I did. What a silly question.
Yes. Felt like a lot of nothing happened this week. Like they did a lot. Nothing really happened.
Too much Zemo, and like we're. Supposedly halfway through the season run.
True. There was a lot of Zemo. Although I have a couple thoughts on it when we get to the end. So, but I will start. We get our global repatriation council commercial. I think I said that right. And so Captain America, he breaks into some base in Germany. They arrest all the people inside, but they don't really take him seriously as far as a Captain America. And Falcon and Bucky visit Zemo, and we learn that Bucky helps Zemo escape prison. In exchange, he agrees to help them with the Flag Smashers. So there you go. Zemo's out of prison. And then we head to Cyberpunk 2077, mm-hmm. which is actually just a criminal island called... Mandrapur, and
yep.
We meet Shelby, who's not long for this world, and Shelby tells them that the power broker hired a Hydra scientist to recreate the super soldier formula, and Falcon's cover is blown, Shelby gets killed, and they put, I think what was like a Bitcoin bounty on all of them. That's what it looked like, I think.
Yeah.
So they are saved by Sharon Carter, an old friend of Falcon, and Falcon says... You help us out, and I'll get your name cleared. So Sharon finds this guy named Dr. Nagel, and they head to his lab. Outside, they're found out, and Sharon beats up a bunch of dudes, and thus she really carried her own. I was hoping to see more of Sharon, but then they just ditch her after this scene. So, yeah. But inside the lab, Dr. Nagel tells them that he made the serum, and it does make people stronger, but it doesn't make them look bigger. So they are like a normal-looking person, but really just super strong and a badass. Kind of like Nobody, which is a great movie you should see, by the way.
Oh, Nobody is so good.
It might... I mean, it's early. It's probably my number one movie of the year thus far.
It was definitely the best movie to make my first movie back in theaters.
Can I stream it?
No, go to the theater.
I guess I'll wait then.
Why?
I'm not vaxxed yet. By the way, I'm getting my vax on Monday. I'm getting the Johnson & Johnson.
You have been going to theaters before the vaccine.
I went, like, the last time I went was, like, October.
That's still before the vaccine.
Yeah, whatever.
Why don't you wear two masks, too?
My theater just opened up yesterday for the first time by me, and I literally saw four movies. I saw Nobody, The Unholy, I saw Kong vs. Godzilla, and then I finished the night off with News of the World, which is probably not the best order to watch those in.
Did you see Reptar vs. Thorg?
I did.
Nice.
Yes. Oh, I want to talk real quick. I won't give spoilers or anything for Kong vs. Godzilla in case anybody hasn't watched it. I don't know if both of you guys have yet.
I'm seeing it tonight.
Okay. But I will just say, between Kong vs. Godzilla and this episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier, it's crazy that it's still, the thought is like, hey, in the future, it's just going to be a lot of neon and glass. And that's how you show the future for everything.
Hey, that was Champion City in, what the hell was that Ben Stiller movie? Mystery Men.
There we go.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm excited for Kong vs. Godzilla. I keep hearing it's good, and I was not a fan of King of All Monsters, which hurts to say because I love Godzilla.
I feel like it's fun, but you know, like, it's nothing really that you wouldn't expect, if that makes sense. Like, you gotta know what you're seeing. It's just a fun, like, monster movie.
Like Big E said, it's, big meaty men slapping meat?
Yeah, that's basically fine. Well, let me ask this. Have you seen King of All Monsters? Or King of Monsters?
I have not seen any of the movies that lead up to this, actually.
Okay. Well, King of Monsters, one of the reasons it sucks is, like, the mom in that movie is, like, just the worst character ever and, like, really drives down the movie substantially. And then they try to give her a redemption story in the end. It's like, no, I hope she dies. Like, it was really poorly done.
I will just say, and it's not a spoiler because it's, like, the first thing that you see in the movie anyway. Yeah, it's funny that one of the main characters is a podcast host.
Hopefully he gets killed because podcast hosts are bad.
Yeah, podcasts are awful.
So, anywho, the doctor says he makes 20 doses, which Carly stole. That's the flag stomper lady. And but she did call him asking to help someone, which we saw another clip where she's got some kid that she knows who's, like, sick. This is kind of similar to, actually, King of Monsters, where it's like, why am I supposed to feel bad for this lady? She wants to like eliminate half the world's population, and then it's like, this kid I know. Yeah, but it's like, this kid I know is sick. Feel bad for me. Like, no, I have Captain America slices your head off with his shield, or Falcon with his wings. Either one, or Bucky punches your head off with his metal arm. Like, you're terrible. I don't feel bad for you. Anyway.
Yeah, it's like Scott Steiner said, you want the simpy of the people, but you don't get my simpy at all.
Yeah, they have not, I think the Flag Stompers is a cool concept, but don't make me try to feel bad for them. Like, no, they should be an evil terrorist group. Like,
they should be one note, yeah.
But I feel like it did have that little bit of, like, I can understand how it makes sense in their mind when she was talking about all the kids who got displaced when everybody returned from the blip. And that now all of a sudden there wasn't enough room and resources for everybody, and so some people got pushed off. But
right, but she prefers life.
Yeah, it's still killing half the population still doesn't seem like the right answer.
I mean, it's an interesting thing to explore, and I'm glad Marvel's finally doing it. Like, what would life be like if half the world disappeared for 5 years, then reappeared? It'd be, you know, an economic disaster, like 10 times COVID. But, like,
I do really love that both shows so far, between WandaVision and this, have really just explored the, like, aftermath of Endgame.
Yeah.
Because I feel like that's such a big thing that, like, if to have shows and pretend that stuff didn't happen would be so silly. So I like that these all take place in a universe, like, post-Endgame, where it's like, what actually are the repercussions?
Yeah, and, like, I know they did it briefly in one of the Spider-Man movies where it's like the marching band just appears during a basketball game. That's funny, but, like, it doesn't really go into, you know, what was happening during that time. That being said, I'd much prefer half the population be here than not. But I understand if they disappeared for 5 years and reappeared, that would cause a lot of problems. But yeah, she seems to prefer, they're like Thanos truthers, and yeah, I'm not going to feel bad for them.
Yeah.
But yes, so let's see. Oh yeah, so Zemo then claps Nagel right in the head, and the lab blows up from the people on the outside. We don't really explain why he does it, but he does. I guess because he doesn't want any more super soldier serum made, would be my guess. Then they have a shootout, and Falcon and Winter Soldier argue again during the shootout, which doesn't seem like a great time. No. And I thought this was a pretty badass scene. While these two are bickering like an old married couple, Zemo hops on one of these like shipping crates. He puts on his mask, which looks pretty cool, and then he just shoots this gas pipe and blows up all these soldiers. It's like, there, that's how you do it. Like, quit arguing, you two. So then Captain America and Hoskins figure out Falcon and Winter Soldier helped Zemo escape. So that's all they needed to go after them now. And meanwhile, the Flag Smashers steal from a GRC facility. So again, I'm not feeling bad for you. You're stealing medicine. And they all head to Latvia to find Carly. Winter Soldier goes for a walk, sees this strange-looking ring in the streets, turns to someone, and says, "I was wondering where we... I was wondering when you were going to show up." And we turn and see that it's Ayo from Wakanda. And she says, "I'm here for Zemo." And the end. I think it's pronounced Ayo. It's been a while since I've seen Black Panther.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was gonna say, they did kind of tease that earlier, too, when at one point they asked, they're like, "You think the Wakandans forgot about what you did?"
Yeah.
Zemo.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw the I saw it back in like August of 2019 when they did it with Donald Glover and James Earl Jones and all them.
Yeah. But
just gonna let that breathe.
I don't get it.
It was a very specific reference.
Black Panther was the Lion King.
Oh, right. Yeah, it's similar.
Yeah.
So,
which was Hamlet. To be fair, but still.
Yeah. So, I had, like I said, three thoughts on the episode. One, a little bit of a nitpick. I don't need I don't need Falcon and Winter Soldier arguing all the time. I get it. They don't get along. And you can have moments like, "Oh, you're not going to move the seat up, are you?" He's like, "Nope, that's fine." But arguing during, like, this gun battle, like, I don't... That's... Seems like a bad time to do that. So
yeah.
We get it. They don't get along. You don't have to keep hammering
it
home.
I don't know. I feel like if me and Eddie ever hung out in real life, we'd be arguing even during gun battles. So
I don't think during a gun battle I'd be trying to get out of there.
Well, I was going to say, I want to know like what circumstances led you into a gun battle.
I don't know. You know these wrestling fans these days, they can get crazy.
Probably an AEW versus WWE thing, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But so that was a negative. Now the positive is I think adding Zemo helped give the show, not that I think the Flag Smashers were bad villains, but it gave the show like a more interesting character than they've kind of been so far. So it kind of helps inject some new life into the show. And even though not a lot happened this particular episode, I think this finally sets up for a good final three episodes, which I'm looking forward to. I think this might be a bit of a turning point, and now the next three episodes, I'm hoping, will be lots of plot development and lots of action, because now we've kind of have... Everything has kind of been set. So, sometimes it takes shows a few episodes to get going, and that's... It happens. I don't prefer it, but it happens. And, you know, one of my favorite shows, Sons of Anarchy, took like 5 or 6 episodes before I really got into it. I almost quit it, but I stuck with it. So this one, I think next week will be like the first really good episode of the season. I'm hoping, at least.
Yeah, I hope so.
If we didn't have this podcast, I'd probably have stopped watching it already. Not even because it's bad. It just seems very, like, same. Like, WandaVision was really fun in that, like, it started so differently than any other show. But this just feels like what I would expect a superhero show to be, which is fine. It's not bad. It's just, there's nothing different or new about it so far. And maybe that'll change, but right now it just feels like a regular superhero show that doesn't do anything for me beyond us having this to talk about it.
Yeah. Okay, and that's fair, but you know what? This feels like a regular hero show, but so does Invincible, but I really enjoy Invincible. That's the thing.
But at least Invincible, and like I said, I've only been through episode one.
Yeah.
If Invincible didn't have what happens at the end of episode one, I would have stopped watching Invincible too. Because when I watched the first, like, 40 minutes of Invincible, I was like, oh, this is fine. This is like, they got the family wrinkle here, whatever. And then, like, the end of Invincible, I was like, oh, shit, okay, I gotta keep watching this and see where this goes.
Well, I'll say this, since you haven't seen the other episodes, what happened at the end of season one, or series episode one, plays a major role in the following episodes. It's like becomes like a major plot point. And like,
yes.
I can't even really, like, people have asked, like, I've told people about the show, and I'm like, well, I can't really tell you what it's about without giving away a huge spoiler. Like, I'll say it's like, yeah, it's a family, it's a show about superheroes and it's a family. But if I told them what happens at the end, it's like I give away the whole series. And
well, I watched it with Jen, and because we still do stuff together sometimes. But I watched it with Jen, and I was like, no, you just got to wait for the last 5 minutes. And every time, like, something, like, moderately interesting happens, she was like, is this the last 5 minutes? I was like, you'll know when it's the last 5 minutes. And then I was like, oh, shit, okay, I know that it's the last 5 minutes now.
Yeah, and I got to say, it's kind of jarring seeing J.K. Simmons, who looks exactly like J. Jonah Jameson from the Spider-Man cartoon with the same voice as a superhero. Yeah. It's very strange.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I have to make a correction of last week. Apparently, Commissioner Gordon was in the original Justice League. I just didn't remember.
Okay.
So, yeah, that makes sense.
But I think he may have had an extended role. So there's that. And then I guess Martian Manhunter was always on Earth or something weird. I don't know. That character is a little strange, but...
Yeah.
Anyway, that is that. Again, Invincible... I would give this latest episode, which I won't spoil, but I would say I was sad that one of the characters I liked, he didn't die, but I don't think we'll see him anytime soon, but it was an interesting episode, I'll say that.
Oh, are we thinking of the same guy, the, how do I say this without spoiling anything?
We're probably thinking of the same guy.
I think so, yeah.
There was a bell involved?
Perhaps, yeah.
Yeah, okay, same guy. So, yeah, okay. I like that character, but, yeah. He might come back, we'll see.
Oh, by the way, so we've got the superhero connection with, you know, J. Jonah Jameson, you know, from Spider-Man and Justice League, but also Zazie Beetz from Deadpool 2 and Joker as well.
Hmm.
Yeah.
And,
Zazie Beetz.
There is also, where was it? I'm looking for it. Oh. Yeah, so we also had, Zachary Quinto, who was in the show Heroes.
Yep.
And then, trying to think. Walton Goggins was in one of the Crow movies, but that was, like, before he became a big star.
But still.
Yeah. Kind of counts. And then I just like, I like Jason Mantzoukas's Rex Sloan. That's a good podcast that he does. You should listen to it after ours.
Mm.
But yeah, his character is very good. He's got a good voice.
Britta's in there.
Yep. Britta of Community. It's actually a pretty impressive cast when you look at it.
Yeah, it really is. And I dig the show, and I'll definitely keep watching. I can barely say the same for Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah, I would keep watching Falcon and Winter Soldier. I mean, first off, it's only 6 episodes, so it's not that big of a deal. But, you know, it does have the... It's now canon with the Marvel movies, so if I want those to make sense, then I might as well. But... I mean, I get why people aren't, like, super into it, but I'm holding out hope. I think the final 3 episodes will be really good.
Yeah.
Because I thought this one really set the table nicely.
Did you, I sent it in group, and I'm sure you saw it, but Mortal Kombat got pushed back a week.
Yeah, which actually, even though I was planning on doing it, because it's like a week after my birthday, and I was doing the whole theater rental, but decided that was, didn't make sense, but just having people come see it. But it actually worked out, because... now, two of my friends who were not going to be able to go will now be able to go. So even though it's annoying, I got to wait another week. I have two more friends at the old, you know, birthday month party, I guess it is at this point. So I'm okay with it.
What was the reasoning behind that? Does anybody know? It was like LA opening theaters more on that day or something? Or like why push it back the week?
I have no idea. It might have something to do with HBO Max, maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. And yeah, maybe the fact that Kong vs. Godzilla like just dropped. I don't know.
Yeah, it's strange. Usually a week is not anything. I don't know.
So, real quick, I was considering going to Smyrna for the All-Star game this year. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
Although, okay, here's the thing. Kind of a brighter side, I guess. I haven't looked at the distance. I think, though, Denver is a little bit closer to me. But speculation is they might bring All-Star Weekend to Denver, Colorado. So that's awesome in that regard. But, okay, I've looked at and I've perused, not you know, gone through and painstakingly studied the proposed bill. But, you know, voter suppression, quote unquote, show an ID to vote. Not an unreasonable request. You have to show an ID and pass a background check to buy a gun, which is also protected by the Constitution. But whatever.
But, you know, you have to show an ID to vote in Colorado, too. Just throwing that out there.
Yep. Yep. Again, it's not what, hard to provide.
I was just gonna cut you guys off. That's what was confusing me, too, because I was like, when you guys were talking about that, I was like, there's no way it's just an ID thing, because I've become pretty liberal, and I'm still 100% on the, like, no, show ID to vote if you're voting in person. But I'm reading an article right now, and it says that apparently the bill also limits early voting hours, bans drive, which I didn't even know this was a thing, but bans drive-through voting.
And I didn't even know that was a thing either.
I didn't know that was a thing either. But limit early voting hours, which I think is insane. It restricts absentee voting, which is insane also to me. And it makes it illegal for local election officials to mail absentee ballot application to voters, even if they qualify. So that to me is all shit that, like, no,
who
get
is
out of here.
Getting a phone call.
That is flat out trying to trick people's right to vote. Like, that's trying to say that, like, if you really care, you'll come down and you'll vote. Just making it harder intentionally for people. Like, because what you want is you want people who have the free time to be able to come down and vote on, because that's the other thing too. It's not like voting happens on a weekend. It usually is a Tuesday, which is typically when most people work 9 to 5 or whatever.
Yeah.
And so it's a little ridiculous that like that sort of stuff is happening. Like I said, I'm 100% for showing ID if you're voting in person. But no,
I've looked into the absentee. Okay, and yes, they are quote unquote restricting it, but it's okay. Apply for an absentee ballot within 11 days before the election. That's all you have to do. Apply for an absentee ballot before, like, with 11 days before the election. That's not that hard. I went like a month before, 2 months before. And yeah, you have to provide identification. Okay, again, not unreasonable.
No, but also limiting early hours at polling places is another thing that, like, again, you're everything that they're doing is literally trying to get less people to vote, and that to me is a real issue. Like, I understand a company being like, hey, this is ridiculous that you're trying to get less people to vote. I understand putting more things in place to try to prove that the people voting are the people voting, but I think trying to just make it so that less people vote is really, really shitty and backwards, and that's the opposite of the way anybody should be moving at this point.
Well, let me say this. First, number one, Georgia's not the only state that has laws similar to this.
Yeah.
That's number one. Delaware, where Biden is from, has that.
But I was saying, but nobody's holding any events in Delaware.
Like, no, but it's like if you're going to...
The MLB or the NHL were like, hey, we're going to go to Delaware. I literally played a football... I've said this before, I think. I played a football game in Delaware once, and it was a miserable swap of a state. And maybe it was just where we were. But I got like 50 mosquito bites, and Delaware sucks. Nobody ever does anything in Delaware. Joe Flacco didn't even want to be in Delaware.
I've driven through it. That's about it. And then I knew a guy that worked there because his company sent him there, because every company's based in Delaware, and he said he hated it. But anyway, here's my thing about this. Do I agree with some aspects of the law in Georgia? Like, yeah, sure. Like the whole hand, like it has to be a poll worker to hand out snacks, which I didn't even know was like a thing. I waited 3 hours to vote once, and not once did anyone offer me a snack. Like, because I'm not at a concession stand, I didn't expect it.
I would say that's one that I can almost understand even a little bit, because it's like, it's weird to legislate against it, but at the same time, I also understand that, like, if you're gonna allow that, then you could have people potentially almost bribe. I don't want to say bribing with pizza, but you know there are some people who would
I'm okay with that. And people, you can tell online who hasn't read this and who has, where it's like they can't even feed these people, and it's like they can, they just have to be a poll worker. It's not that big of a deal. But yeah, there's some aspects of it I agree with. There's some I don't agree with. But that could be said about a lot of different laws. And here's my thing, like, and I've said this before, I just want to watch a baseball game. I just want to watch a game. I don't care what Major League Baseball stance is on voter registration in Georgia. I've never thought about that in my life until now. And it's like, well, they're just taking a stand. Aren't they allowed? They can, but it's stupid. And like, taking a stand. How many fans are you going to gain from this? Zero. How many fans are you going to lose from this? Several.
But that's the exact intention, though, is like, here's the thing. You and Caleb, as much as you guys can complain, you're not going to stop watching baseball. You guys are like dyed in the wool, like you're baseball guys, right? Baseball people are not going to stop watching baseball because they moved it. Are other people going to start watching baseball because they moved it? Probably not a lot, but even if it's any, it's something. It's just a good PR of like, hey, look, we did the right thing, and then again, like the NBA thing, if the law does get changed, then they could sort of pat themselves on the back and say that we had something to do with it, whether or not you can actually prove it. Like,
first off, they're taking the All-Star game away from Atlanta, which, by the way, Atlanta, like most metropolises, is very liberal, and probably the sole reason that Biden and a lot of Democrats won Georgia.
Yeah.
Sure, but there's also, I say, That's true, but the money is still not just staying within Atlanta as a city. The money is then going also to Georgia, the state. And if Georgia, the state, is enacting the laws, then it makes sense for them to be like, well, we want this somewhere else.
Oh, and also, by the way, for all the performative wokeness, and this is very performative, because the MLB will very willingly host exhibition games in Cuba. But if oppression isn't happening over here, it's just not happening.
Oh, I would say there's hypocrisy with all of it, with any time almost anybody tries to be woke. And that's the whole issue with it.
Oh, even like the NBA with China?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's why I just, like, get out of politics, sports. I don't care. Like, you're supposed to honor Hank Aaron in, you know, he just died. And it's like, you can honor him in Atlanta. And I don't know this for sure, but I would imagine that Atlanta, of all the Major League Baseball cities, probably has the most black people per capita. And it's like, no, we're not going to honor them there. We're just going to move it. And it's for your own good, Georgia. Like, you're punishing all the businesses and, you know, who all made Georgia a blue state. You're punishing them now because, well, we don't like this law that was passed. Okay, here's the thing. If you don't like the law that was passed, then boycott, like, if you're an individual, then don't go to the All-Star game or don't watch the All-Star game. Like, instead, you've now removed the possibility of it. Like, I keep seeing, like, well, it's not cancel culture, it's consequences culture. No, it is canceling because you've literally moved the game out. You've given people no choice now.
But like, I never heard that phrase, but I would say it is consequences culture in this case, because it's not like they're saying, We're moving it from Atlanta. Atlanta's never getting it again. Like, when somebody gets canceled, I feel like now it's basically like a death sentence for their career generally, where it's like, this person, we want this person to never act again. We want this person to never make any more music or any more, you know, play in any more games, whatever the case may be. But this is like, hey, this law is really stupid. Change the law and we'll come back, is what I essentially gathered from it. It's not like a permanent, you're not really being canceled. Like, if they wanted to, if Georgia, let's say, repealed the laws or changed their laws, they could put the All-Star game back there next year and honor Hank Aaron there next year. It's not like, because not for nothing. Also, at this point, Hank Aaron isn't coming to the celebration. So you can make it whatever year you want, being realistic. And not for nothing, it has, you would say whether it has tangible effects on, like, will it actually change the laws, who knows. But the fact that we're having this conversation is something that literally doesn't happen if the All-Star game doesn't move. So even just raising that sort of talk about it does do something. Whether or not you think that thing carries any weight, we'll see. But like, look, I said, it did. You can give some credit to the NBA moving out of North Carolina for that whole stupid bathroom thing changing. Like, obviously the government isn't going to come out and say, we did this because of the NBA, because you don't want to give that sort of direct power to anybody. But it is like a thing. Like, it does matter to somebody.
So I take it on a case-by-case situation. Like, when the NFL moved the Super Bowl out of Phoenix because Arizona wasn't honoring MLK Day, that was in the early 90s, it's like, why wouldn't you? First off, everyone loves a holiday, so just do that. And number two, it's like, you know, here's a guy, great guy, did a lot for, you know, I mean, we all know what he did, but you're not even honoring him.
Like, well, MLK is okay. Like, yeah. Racists are like, listen, we don't like anybody else, but MLK is fine.
And it's just weird that, like, Arizona wasn't doing that. And I agree with them not doing daylight savings time. We should get that. I'm on board with them with that, but not with the MLK. But they changed it, so good. The North Carolina bathroom thing to me was just dumb from the get go. It's like, it's one of those laws that, it was never going to be enforced. It's like, you know, people don't know this. In Ohio, there's still a law on the books that says when you pass another vehicle, you have to honk. No one does that. In fact, you'd probably get a ticket if you did do it. But it's like, it's just one of those stupid laws that's been on the books. No one's really noticed or gotten rid of it. And it's like, it wasn't going to be enforced. So it's like, who really cared? Like, that was my thing. It's like, it was dumb. You're dumb for creating the law. But it's also, it's like, no one's going to enforce this. You don't have bathroom monitors now. So, like, it didn't matter. With this one's a little different. And it's like, you now you're, because NBA did go back to Charlotte, but with this, it's like, it's something very different. They've changed a lot of how they do their voting now. And it's like, well, we disagree with that, so we're now going to punish you. But it's like, okay, so MLB, are you just never going to go to a state that has strict you know, voting registration again, because I don't know all 50 states, but I'm pretty sure New York has strict voting as far as, like, absentee ballots.
It looks like the Rangers and the Astros are probably going to have to move. Yeah.
Yeah. And as far as, like, the difference of the cancel and the consequences, because I saw this point brought up a couple weeks ago where it was like, well, you know, the first people to get canceled were the Dixie Chicks. It's like, no. I don't listen to the Dixie Chicks. I hate country music, but they said something that their fan base disagreed with, and their fan base made the decision not to financially support them. That was not canceling. That was choosing to spend our entertainment dollars elsewhere.
But that's exactly what the MLB is doing. They're just doing it at a higher level because they're a business.
They're not canceling Atlanta.
They're just saying, we're not going to spend our money in Atlanta.
But at the same time, then you're not giving the fans who agree or disagree with the law to spend their money in Georgia. So, like, for instance, now all the businesses in Georgia who have no say in this, who were like, man, sure sucked with COVID, but good thing we're getting the All-Star game. Oh, okay, never mind. So, and it's disappointing. And, like, I've been to that stadium. It's legit one of my favorite stadiums. And I remember when I was there, I messaged Caleb, like, you got to get to the stadium. Like, it's awesome. And this was in 2019. Couldn't go last year, but it's like, it was legit one of my favorite stadiums, and I have no rooting interest in the Braves at all. Yeah. But, and it's like, well, now people don't get to see this great stadium, and hopefully they will one day. And it's like, I just don't need sports leagues to take political positions. Like, I just don't care. Like, if you're a business and you want to, like, if you're Chick-fil-A and you want to make it well known what you donate to, fine. I can choose to I can choose to eat there, or I can choose to not eat there. Personally, I don't care. I do eat at Chick-fil-A.
But that's the same thing with sports, though. You can choose to watch it, or you can choose not to watch it. It's still ultimately a business at the end of the day. Just because it's a bigger business that you have more personal attachment to, it's still just a business at the end of the day. And if you do have that big of a problem, like, here's the other thing too. Going back to the whole like speaking with your wallet idea, if you have that big of a problem with baseball moving the All-Star game, do what I do and just don't watch baseball. Like, if it's truly that big of an issue, speak with your wallet the other way. You know what I mean? But if you are insistent on giving them your ratings, and this is something that I've done for, it's kind of like me with WWE. Like, do I think it's great that WWE does business with Saudi Arabia? No. But do I, am I going to sit here and like rant about it and pretend to really care? No, because I've been watching WWE my whole life. So them doing business with countries who kill journalists is just something that I've learned to accept. And I don't take, I'm not like, oh, well, if I'm watching them, then that means I agree with killing journalists. Just like, you don't have to be like, well, if I'm watching baseball, it means I agree with moving the All-Star game. But it's just something that it's like, well, I like this thing, even though I may not agree with them on every policy that they have.
Right. Yeah. I just want them to deliver the product that they are promised. And, you know, there's a
But they still are. It's just not in the same location. You're not if they just canceled the All-Star game full stop, I would say, yes, that's really, really stupid. But if they're moving the All-Star game, you're still going to get to watch it as a fan. If you were going to travel, you can still travel. And there's going to be other businesses that benefit wherever they do decide to put it. So it's not like it's really having all that much of an impact. Like, it's not having like a net negative, basically. It's just moving the positive somewhere else.
Yeah, well, like I said, I mean, it's too early to determine if I was going to do the All-Star game. It's going to depend on ticket prices, how many fans they were going to let in and all that. So I didn't even know, but Columbus to Atlanta, it's a very quick flight, it's very cheap. So I thought about it because I didn't get to go to the one in Cincinnati, and I wanted to go to an All-Star game, but it's like, well, now I can't. So again, they took it out of my hands. So if I disagree with this law and they were going to keep it in Georgia, but then you're, I could also, say, well, I'm not going to go absolutely.
But they didn't take it out of your hands really, because you're in Columbus. If you were in Columbus and the All-Star game was in Columbus and you were like, okay, I could drive here, but I'm not going to move to another state, that would be taking it out of your hands. If you are in Atlanta, they kind of took it out of your hands. But you're still going to be able to get tickets for it somewhere. And for somebody like you, Atlanta's half the country away anyway at that point. So does it really matter to you if they move it, if it's at Atlanta or Denver or wherever?
Well, Atlanta's a cheaper flight than Denver, but...
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel bad for the people in Atlanta because, you know, like I said, now they have no say in it because...
Yeah, I was saying, here's the thing. It definitely sucks for the businesses around the stadium. It definitely sucks for any fans in Atlanta who wanted to go to the game.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, the NBA had their All-Star game in MSG. And at the time, I was doing pretty well financially, like my family at least. And even still, the most I was able to afford, really, was we got to go to the All-Star game practice because things are so expensive. So All-Star games aren't really for locals anyway. They're not like they're these, like, oh, hey, if you live in Atlanta, you get a discount. You can come pay $20 for tickets. Like, the people going there are people who have means generally anyway. If you're going to an All-Star game, you're not somebody who's, like, limited to your city.
Well, here's the thing. We had an All-Star game for NHL in Columbus, and at the time I was not doing financially well, and the cheapest ticket was $200. Now, if they moved the All-Star game, they were doing it this year, I would probably go because I could afford it. I couldn't afford it back then. But that being said, I did all the pre-All-Star game festivities, and the amount of money that it generated for the city was really great. And it's like, it sucks that Georgia won't be able to do that. And I kind of, again, from a business standpoint, I kind of disagree. I don't think this will generate any new fans. I think this risks losing fans.
Yeah.
And here's the other thing is that, as I forgot my point, someone else talk while I think of it, because I just had it. Now I lost it.
I don't think you're really going to lose fans, being realistic. Because the people who watch baseball don't have an alternative to baseball. There's not, like, another baseball league they could be watching instead.
We've the alternative about baseball. Not watching
baseball happens every single day. The people who've watched baseball at this point, baseball basically doesn't have new fans. If you're watching baseball, you've always watched baseball. You're always going to watch baseball. I feel like a lot of the other leagues, like, especially the NBA, I feel like has a sort of, like, flippable fan base because you have people who only watch for stars. Baseball isn't a sport that people watch for stars. People watch for baseball. So those people aren't going anywhere. All these conservatives who are like, you can't move it out of Georgia. You got to they're not going to stop watching baseball. Like,
I think they will.
It's not going to happen.
I think a lot of people will. I think the ratings will drop. I remember the point I was going to make now. Basically, MLB, they scored social media like bonus points from all these blue checkmark losers on Twitter. And yep. Social media bonus points, here's what it equates to. This is like a quote from The Office. When Stanley says, you know, or rather Dwight says, what's the ratio of Shroot Bucks to Stanley Nichols? And Stanley says, the same ratio as leprechauns to unicorns. That is what social media bonus points gets you. Absolutely mm-hmm. nothing. It gets you nothing. It's not worth it. And for some reason, every year, multiple times a year, corporations repeatedly fall for this trap where they decide, well, we should probably get rid of this or cancel it, and they get social media bonus points. The Twitter celebrates for 5 minutes, then they find the next thing to get mad about. And yep. it's just a repeat cycle, and it's super annoying. And I don't know. I just it's like when and here's the thing. If you got all of the blue checkmark people who get offended all together and said, okay, elect a leader, bring in a leader to the negotiation table, and they do, it's like, okay, when can you guys stop? When's the end? When can we expect all this canceling stuff to stop? They're not going to have an answer. They're just going to say, as long as it takes. They're going to, look, they're going to come, they changed the Redskins. Okay, not good enough. Now we're changing the Indians. Guess what, Braves and Chiefs, you're next.
Oh, no, Braves are fine.
Hey, no, like the Braves are Braves. Absolutely next. No, then probably the Fighting Irish.
Literally, the only thing they're going to have to do is get rid of the tomahawk. But they'll be able to keep their name because here's a reminder: the Golden State Warriors still exist.
Yeah, but their logo is not of an Indian or anything.
Used to be an Indian.
Well, right, but now it's the tomahawk. They're going to get rid of that too. They're going to get rid of the tomahawk chant. It's going to.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Look at that. They're going to get rid of the tomahawk chant. Okay, cool, whatever. The Braves name, that's going to stick, man.
I don't think so. I think they're going to try for it.
It's going to be like the Warriors situation where they went from an Indian to a bridge. The Braves will go from the tomahawk to just a big A.
Hmm.
Yeah, haven't they already done that? I mean, I guess they still have the like Braves with the tomahawk on it, but I don't know. Yeah.
Now look, anyway. I hope the Braves don't change it, but they're going to come after the name. At least be prepared for that.
Yeah, and, of course they'll come after the name.
And so far, the only team that I'm aware of that just said no was the Texas Rangers. They're like, you guys got to change your name. They're like, no, we're not changing our name. And thankfully, they didn't, and that was the end of it. It's like if people would just say no, you'll move on. Because I promise you, in a week, we won't be talking about voter restriction. We'll be talking about the next outrage of the week. And it'll be like, well, what have we got to cancel this week, you know? I mean, they're already proposing Fighting Irish on ESPN. They've been proposing that. And it's like, they're going to come. And look, as a fan of the Blue Jackets, I fully expect one day for them to be like, you know, don't like a Civil War reference. The Civil War makes us sad. Please change that name. I'm expecting it. It's going to happen. We just have to keep digging down the rabbit hole, and then eventually we'll get to Blue Jackets, probably New York Rangers too. So it'll get there. It's just going to take a while. But
New York Giants are definitely going to be on the table too for sizeism.
It could be.
Oh man.
Everything will have to be, Jets, you know.
The Jets locals being like, 9/11?
Yeah. Or Yankees, I could see that too.
Like, yep.
Yeah, like I said, it's just obnoxious, and it's like, well, every week there's something new, and I don't know. It's like, when can we just stop? Like, I don't know.
It's fitting that I did this episode from my car with sunglasses on.
Yes. Oh, and you mentioned Cuba. It's funny. Like, I had made a comment on some sports site on Facebook about Cuba, and some guy came in and was like, you know, Cuba's not as bad as you think it is.
Shut up.
No, it is. And I just linked him to an article about the human rights. Human Rights Watch did, like, a 2020 summary on Cuba. And they meant, like, the first paragraph, it talks about they arrested people at a gay pride parade that were, like, protesting the treatment of gay people. And he's like, well, you know, under Obama it was a lot better, but then Trump made it worse. I'm like, dude, stop making excuses. I do agree that Cuba should be open. We should end this trade embargo on them. But, like, stop making excuses. Cuba's not a nice country. Like, it might be cool to visit to the nice parts, but, like, the parts that you can't get to and see, no, it's probably really terrible. And but, you know, we're gonna play games there, and it's cool. And
yep.
But yeah, that's the other thing, is the hypocrisy of it all. Like, just stop being hypocrites, you know?
Yeah. Oh, I would say there's definitely, I won't ever argue that. There's a lot of hypocrisy, I feel like, on all sides. But like I said, it's just one of those things where it's like, if you want to do it, do it. You don't want to do it, don't. If it's something that bothers me that much, I'll speak with my ratings in my wallet, and I'll either watch or I don't. But I know for me personally, there's, I'm not going to say there's literally no line, but there's very little, because I understand that, like, countries are complicated, states and localities are complicated. Like, there's very little that I can hear that's going to make me, if I enjoy something, full stop, like, viewing it or whatever. Like I said, I literally will still watch WWE knowing that they're doing business with a country that literally killed a journalist for talking bad about them. Like, but I'm like, I enjoy watching these guys fake fight, and I know that most of the wrestlers and employees don't have any real say in it, so I'm going to still watch. But also, if you are somebody who cares that much about journalists being murdered, I fully understand you not watching WWE. If WWE had decided that, like, the sort of, like, PR perspective of it makes it worth not going to Saudi Arabia anymore, I would get that too. Like, I don't know. I just think everybody kind of cares too much on all sides.
I agree. I just wish that people, like, because I'll, like I mentioned Chick-fil-A, my cousin's like, I just don't go to Chick-fil-A. I'm like, look, all I care, I don't care what they donate to. I really don't. I go to Chick-fil-A. I don't care who they donate to. I go to Jenny's Ice Cream here in Columbus. They're on the opposite spectrum of Chick-fil-A. I don't care who they donate to. I just want a good product. I don't need to be preached at. I don't need to know what baseball's, you know, stances are on the Georgia voting law. I've never once asked. I've never once cared. And I just, it doesn't matter. And I think I've mentioned this before. I've been going to my barber over 10 years. I couldn't tell you what his stances on abortion are. And you know what? I don't care. The guy gives a good haircut. That's all I care about. It's easy to please. Now, if I went in there and every single time I got my haircut, he's like, oh, you wouldn't believe what the Democrats are trying to do this week. And that's like, okay, I'm going to probably stop going because it's annoying. I just don't need to be preached at. Just give me a good product. That's all I ask. And for some reason, every single company and every single sport and every single athlete and every single actor seems to think, well, you guys need to know what I think about this. No, we really don't. Okay?
I mean, it does definitely get excessive. I don't think it's necessarily, like, I think it's, some of the stances are ridiculous, especially when it comes to, like, calling out individuals. But I do think when it's something like a governmental, like, level, when it's a law or a government policy, to me that is a little bit of an exception to the rule. Because, like, if MLB was like, we're not going to Atlanta because whatever, let's just say, I don't know who's, like, some, like, I can't even think of a good analogy right now. But, like, some famous Atlanta figure who wasn't a politician said something controversial, I'd be like, that's dumb. Who cares? It's one person. Well, I do get when it's, like, an entire sort of law or policy that's bigger than just, like, it's not canceling a person, it's canceling, or a name, it's canceling, like, because of something that actually has repercussions on a lot of people. Like, there are going to be, like, plenty of people in Georgia who can't vote if there's no early voting hours. Like, that's just a truth of it all. It's not like, if somebody says something that they don't like, then yeah, maybe people's feelings are hurt, but there's no tangible, like, or measurable impact on that. But if it's a state, like, changing the voter laws, you can measure that by being like, oh, well, we had a thousand, like, you know, thousands less voters this year than we did in the past. Like, So I kind of get it when it's something like that big. But on a whole, I do agree with you that I think people are oversensitive and looking for that very, like, gotcha culture. But like I said, I think when it comes to policies and laws, that to me is where, like, that's fine to react to.
Well, look, I mean, if they change the voting and if early absentee voting is trickier, which it sounds like it might be, I don't know. You just got to adapt, you know? I mean, it sucks, but, like, it happens, I guess. That would be,
no, and like, yeah. I said, to some degree, I get that. But, like, we're all single guys. I'm the only one of us with a kid, and I have one kid. Like, we're not people who are, like, you know, on their ass, married with five or six kids who have to then try to, like, working, you know, potentially two full-time jobs or a full-time and a part-time, who then have to try to figure out when to make time to vote. Like, so there are people who it's going to affect. And, yeah, those people aren't us, like, because we're in good enough spots that it doesn't affect us. But I think there are definitely going to be people who it does. And for those people, I get somebody a lot more powerful than them taking a stand on their behalf. Like, because, again, that mother or father with four or five kids, you know, working a job and a half or even two jobs, they can't really sit there and advocate and be like, well, we need blah, 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 because they literally don't have the time for it. Because if they have the time for that, then they have the time to go to early voting. But so if there is a company that's worth billions of dollars who can sort of take up that sword for them, so be it. Like, but like I said, to me, there's a big difference between that and then coming after, like, the Blue Jackets or the Braves or the Giants or, like, stupid sort of, like, things that are just people being mad to be mad that don't actually affect anybody.
Well, never, you know, don't forget, I think it was 2019 when they passed some abortion bill and Hollywood's like, well, we're just going to stop filming there. And it's like, they didn't. So, this is my thing. It's like, I don't think this will change anything. And the guy that went at me on Facebook was like, well, Delta and Coke are already talking about moving. Like, they're not going to move. Like, Delta, if you have to fly anywhere in, like, a 300-mile vicinity of the state of Georgia, you're probably getting a layover in Atlanta. And if you're flying Delta, like, they're not going anywhere. Like, just stop. Anyway.
No, but at the same time, them threatening to is probably enough to at least make them tweak the law, even if they don't full-blown repeal it. Because I feel like that's how these things work. It's like, a law comes out, companies make big stinks, parts of the law get tweaked. Nothing ever goes away entirely, but things get sort of moderated down to, like, a more palatable level, and then everybody moves on. Like, so I feel like I said, I feel like there's some impact. It's not this world-changing impact, but I don't think it's a world-changing impact sort of either way. Like,
yeah.
So, Ed, let me ask you. I know, obviously, you have no ties to the Braves. You seem to even kind of resent them because of me to a degree. But that being said, if, let's say, God forbid, the Houston Astros made the World Series, and, you know, Rob Manfred kind of took it a little easy on them a couple of years ago. Okay, whatever. Let's say they played the Atlanta Braves. Let's say the Braves won the World Series in Atlanta. Rob Manfred had to present the trophy to the Atlanta Braves in front of a crowd of angry Georgians who all hate him. Would it be worth it?
Look, there's nothing more in sports I love more than getting a commissioner booed, especially when they deserve it. And really, all four of them, like, it's hard to even rank them. I dislike all four of them.
I'm gonna cut you off for a second. One of my favorite moments in sports was when Adam Silver took over for David Stern, and he came out to announce his pick for the first time, and the fans who had always cheered him because he would announce the second round now booed him when he took over for the first round. That was such a fun, like, everybody's kind of in on the joke moment, I feel like.
That's funny.
When Adam Silver announced his first pick, and David Stern passed the torch, and everybody just started booing Adam Silver relentlessly.
That's I think Adam Silver deserves booed now, not just because it's funny, because I think he's spineless. At least Goodell handled COVID well, I thought.
Yeah.
And last year, I thought Rob Manfred kind of handled it well at first, because I remember when the Marlins tested positive, everybody's like, well, that season was fun while it lasted, cancel it. And it's like, they didn't. They got through it, and they crowned a champion. And so I was impressed with that, but then he immediately follows up with this spineless move, and I gotta say, I would really enjoy seeing him get booed. It's bad when, like, Gary Bettman is, like, the only guy I have no complaints over, and, you know, hockey is, like, a distant fourth, so.
Look, the okay, I'm gonna say it, and with the way he handled the Astros thing, and the way he's handled this, Rob Manfred has officially usurped Roger Goodell as the worst commissioner in major sports.
Yeah, that's fair, I would say.
And Roger Goodell didn't even do anything to climb into the third spot so much as he existed.
Yeah, like I said, I thought he handled COVID kind of well. I wouldn't have completely objected to tacking on one more week of the season, just so we didn't have all these Wednesday and Tuesday games. But yeah, in the end, it really didn't matter. I will say, it just baffles me how they decide we're going to add a 17th game and still don't end on the day before President's Day. Like, that's a special kind of, like, incompetency.
Oh, that's... I was
that
say, me and you,
infuriated me.
I was so angry when I saw that. I was like, what the hell are you doing? Like, it's literally just a... It's like a slap in the face because it's only a one-week difference now. You couldn't have just pushed back the season 1 week to start? Like, push the season back 1 week to start. Because I understand if they're like, well, we don't want to have 2 weeks in between the conference championship and the Super Bowl. Like, just one off week is enough. Like, our usual 2 week gap as opposed to a 3 week gap. But then if that's the case, just move everything back 1 week. It's so dumb. I'm hoping that it's just because, like, everything was kind of already set for this year as far as scheduling. And so that maybe just logistically it made it hard to do this year. But that going forward, it'll be pushed back to, like, President's Day weekend. But it doesn't make any sense. If Biden wants another term, he has to move President's Day weekend, or the NFL has to push it back a week, because there's no way these should be a week apart from each other and the whole country isn't getting Monday off for the Super Bowl.
It was infuriating. I thought it was a slam dunk. I'm like, this is
too much sense to not happen.
Yeah, this is exactly.
If me and you can agree on anything, it should be a no-brainer. And that should be the standard for America. If John and Eddie are on the same page, especially if me, you, and Caleb are all on the same page, then nobody should oppose it.
The only thing I thought of is, like, well, maybe TV rights, because, and again, maybe it's just for this 1 year because everything's all solidified, because the Daytona 500 is the week after the Super Bowl. And, like, maybe Fox was already committed to that and it had to be that time slot, maybe. But then I thought, who cares? Like, the Daytona 500 has a tenth of the viewers. It's even, like, the lowest rated Super Bowl, which this past one was.
Everything else should sort of move to the whim of the Super Bowl, because the Super Bowl is the damn Super Bowl. Like, the NBA All-Star Game is going to have to. That's usually that weekend. Like, that's usually that sort of, like, Valentine's Day weekend is the NBA All-Star Game stuff. So now they're going to have to move already to the Super Bowl.
Royal Rumble is going to move, dude.
It was infuriating.
Yeah. No, like, for example, I just figured it out. Like, the Royal Rumble is going to have to move back a week now, and it's going to actually be February next year.
Or they can do it early. They can do it a week earlier, too.
Well, that's the thing. They try not to go against the conference title games, dude.
Yeah.
Do it on Saturday. I don't know. Before we end,
More Saturday pay-per-views.
Before I even tell this story, let me ask this, Caleb. What was your experience like scheduling the vaccine?
It was actually pretty easy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay, because mine was very frustrating. So, here's what happened. This was this past Monday, was my age group was eligible to take the vaccine. So, last week, I'm like, well, surely they'll open up scheduling early because you'll be able to take it next week. And I go in, I fill out everything, it's like, you're not eligible. And I'm like, but I will be by the time this, and it's like, nope, you're not eligible. So, I lied and put, like, yes, over 40. And then because I'm like, by the time I take it, I'll be eligible, so I didn't feel bad about lying. But then it was like, we're out of vaccines, no one's scheduling, so... I was like, okay, I'll just wait till Monday. And Monday comes around, and I get one message that's like, we're out of vaccines until, like, Wednesday. And I read in the news that Ohio is basically out of anything until they get a big shipment on Wednesday. I'm like, all right, I'll wait till Wednesday. So Wednesday gets here. And basically, the best I can describe this as is, like, a slot machine. So I go to... there's several different places I went to. The first was... the grocery store closest to me, Giant Eagle. And Like, I go and it's like searching all Central Ohio Giant Eagles. And it might give you, it'll either say none available or one would pop up. It's not my, the one by me, of course, but I'm like, I click on it. It's like, no time's available now. It's like, click here, no time available. I'm like, okay, this is not working. So, Kroger's, I tried them. You have to go to each individual store. I'm like, I'm not doing that. There's like 100 Kroger's in Columbus. I'm not doing that. Walmart, they didn't have anything. CVS Pharmacy, they didn't have anything. So I finally did this Ohio Health that has like 10 locations where it's like most people have been getting it anyway. It's like 10 locations in Central Ohio, but some of those locations are kind of far. So here's where the slot machine parts comes in. Like, it'll either say nothing's available, or it'll pop up with like, oh, here's one up in Mansfield, which is like an hour from me. I'm like, I'm not driving that an hour to get the vaccine. That's ridiculous. Try again. Okay, here's one in Kenton. Oh, that's even further. I'm not doing that. Oh, well, here's one in Grove City. Okay, that's only about 10 minutes. I'll try that one. Click on it. Click confirm. Oh, sorry, this time slot's been filled. Okay, try it again. And then I finally get Circleville, which is about a half hour, and then it confirmed it. So I'm like, okay, I can live with that. So that'll be on Tuesday. But here's what I don't understand. Like, what is this technology where it's like, yes, find me all these appointments, and then it just picks one randomly, and it's like, one of the appointments was like from April 15th, and it was an hour away. And then I click again. It's like, my appointment now is like April 6th, which is a half hour away. Like, why is this site not capable of giving me all the options at once? I don't understand this. It was so bizarre, and I don't know who designed this, but it's not good. But I am at least glad I get the first dose on Tuesday, and I don't even know what... I don't know what it is I'm getting, so...
Yeah.
It could be...
It's never enough. Because I told people, like, yeah, I'm getting the Johnson & Johnson one. Like, well, you know, the efficacy rating is actually lower, and how dare you? You need to get Moderna or Pfizer. I'm like, calm down. I'm getting a shot.
I was like, I don't know anybody who's actually had a say in what they get. Like, I know for me, and I got mine early. My second dose was back on, like, February 9th. For me, it was literally just whatever they had. And, but I also feel stupid for getting mine so early, because the way – not – that I regret getting the vaccine. I'm glad I got the vaccine. But it just so happened to be that, like, I literally registered the day they said teachers and school workers could get it. Jen was home, was working from home that day, so she, like, found dates for both of us. I registered that day, went and got my shot, like, a couple – I think it was literally 2 days later. And then got the second one 2 weeks later, 3 weeks later, whatever it was. But then, like, a week after that, my job came out, and they were like, oh, because that was the thing. I could, the time spots that I was able to get, I could only get something during the workday. So I ended up taking off a half day one day and a full day another day to go get my shot, because I had to go all the way up to the Bronx, and I live in Brooklyn. So I had to travel, like, an hour, almost an hour and a half by train to get my dumb shot. But then my job came out like a week later and was like, oh, you're allowed 4 hours off each time you get your shot to go get it, and it won't count against your sick time or anything like that. But it's not retroactive. So I got so screwed because I wanted to be so early on getting the vaccine. Or if I had just waited a couple of weeks, I could have not had to lose any time off because of it.
Well, but now, you know, you're free to go tongue kiss strangers. So that's good.
And I have been.
That's good.
Walking up to random people on the street, spitting in their mouths. I'm like, don't get anything now. Ha-ha! And walking away.
Yeah, you're like, ha-ha, now all you got is the clap.
Yeah. But, but I did get to sit in a movie theater for 4 straight movies yesterday, and that's all that I could really...
You should have rebelled and taken your mask off during the movie without eating popcorn. That's what you should have.
Okay, that's the most, like, that's what's funny, though, because that's the, like, the most clearly capitalist law that there is, where it's like, we really care about your health, but we care about, we want to make money off these snack sales more, so don't take your mask down unless you're eating our food that you're giving us money for.
Yep.
So, it's so stupid and hypocritical, but it is what it is. Like, but what sucked was my theater had, like, very limited snack selection yesterday. And they said that ahead of time, But some of it didn't make sense. Like, I don't know if it's just because yesterday was their first day opening and maybe they haven't fully restocked yet or anything. But, like, when it came to the drinks, they only had, like, some of the – they only had, like, two or three sodas out of, like – they usually have, like, five or six options, let's say. And it's, like, that's something that, to me, makes absolutely no sense. Because I understand maybe they don't want to, like, have all of the food that they, like, typically would cook. Like, you don't want to have, like, the pizzas, the wings, the whatever, because, like – all that stuff costs a lot of money, and you don't know what attendance is going to be like yet and whatever. But you tell me you couldn't get a couple of extra bottles of whatever the fill is for so that you can have your root beer in stock or your fruit punch. Like, you only had to have, like, Sprite or Coke. Just is crazy to me.
Yeah, I buy a bottle of water and drink it throughout the movie and don't wear a mask in the theater.
Sorry. Oh, well. You buy a bottle of water?
Yeah. Why?
That's why you gotta bring a lady with you, so she can bring a purse and sneak one in.
Or you could just be Caleb and bring your own purse.
Exactly.
Purse. The satchel.
Yes. Joy Behar wore one.
But yes, I'm excited to get, like I said, hopefully, July, August, somewhere in there, we can just finally just say, all right, if you haven't gotten your vaccine... too bad. You had plenty of time.
Eddie, by the way...
time to open up.
Fair warning, I could be knocked on my ass by Monday night, because I'm getting that vaccine in the morning, so just so you know.
Oh, God. Such a wuss. Everyone I saying, know has been fine taking it.
Well, yeah, but
I had nothing but a little bit of arm soreness either time. I know Jen had a little bit of a fever, I think, after the first dose. She had a pretty high fever and was kind of like feeling it after the second dose. But then everybody I know was good by the day after that. So, and that's I don't good. Think anybody else I know has had any real major symptoms. Everybody's just like, a little bit of like arm soreness and not much else.
Well, yep, I guess
that seems to be the case.
Yeah. I guess on that note, we can get out of here.
Yep, we'll be, next time we talk, we'll be halfway two people will be fully vaccinated, and I'll be halfway there, probably, unless it is the Johnson Johnson, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, it's typically, like, when I went to the website, that I signed up for the vaccine at, it specifically said it was going to be the Johnson & Johnson vaccine.
Yeah, see, mine didn't say.
But, yeah. Anyway, guys, thank you for listening. God bless you. Have a good morning, noon, night. Eddie, did you write any quotes down?
Let me think. Oh, yes. Not from Captain and Winter Soldier. Not Falcon and Winter Soldier. He will be the captain, though. But I have one from Invincible. Where Walton Goggins says, "I'll see you in hell." And someone, who I won't spoil, says, "There's a place worse where you're going."